produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. The 2006 Normal Key West Legal Seminar is booking now. The Normal Key West Legal Seminar is an excellent legal seminar with outstanding speakers, and it's fully accredited by all states that require continuing legal education or CLE credits for practicing attorneys. In addition, it's become a wonderful opportunity to spend some time in a relaxed setting with old friends and to make some new friends who share your opposition to marijuana prohibition. Many of our members and supporters look forward each year to this celebration of personal freedom. The 2006 Legal Seminar will be held at the Pier House Resort and Caribbean Spa in Key West, Florida, on November 30th through December 2nd. The hotel is holding a block of reduced-rate rooms for Normal Legal Seminar attendees. We usually sell out our block of rooms, so please try to make your reservations early. If you join the Normal Legal Committee, you'll also qualify for a $100 reduction in the registration fees for the Key West program. Even if you can't join us for this program, please consider joining the NLC, or Normal Legal Committee, and becoming part of our growing network of Normal attorneys. NLC members receive periodic Normal newsletters and weekly email press releases and are entitled to a significant reduction in registration fees at all Normal legal seminars and are listed on the Normal website. Members are also eligible for the NLC email discussion group, where they can locate a brief or expert witnesses or brainstorm a case with colleagues or ask for other help. You can find out more information on joining the Normal Legal Committee. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. We hope to see you all in Key West this December.
Where will you find the executive director of Normal at 420 on most days? Nah, he will not likely be imbibing in the sacred herb, but he will be tuning into the next Normal Audio Stash for important news and information concerning marijuana. This is Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, in Washington, D.C., and if you've got a phone line and a computer, then you too can make a daily cannabis connection with Normal's popular daily Audio Stash podcast. Normal is growing the truth about cannabis, and the harvest is yours to reap. Tune in every day at 4:20 p.m. for your daily audio stash. Get hooked up with Normal's daily and weekly news podcast by visiting norml.org or normalaudiostash.com.
Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've got another great stash of audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit norml.org. Thursdays here on The Stash, we focus on legal and legislative issues. In our first segment today, we'll hear from historian Jerry Mandel about the history of prohibition.
And this is my favorite story of a muck from a French author. French explorer, Grand Pré, somewhere between 1790 and 1805. The natives of Malacca, eating a great quantity of opium, produces on them a furious drunkenness, too large a dose, a paroxysm of rage from which death alone can relieve them. Armed with a poniard, which they call krist. Poniard, I think, is a knife, sort of, which leaves a wound at least 2 inches wide, the more terrible from being poisoned, to form an idea of the rage and fury with which this opium inspires. See them in their combats on board pirate vessels, receive a lance through their bodies, and not being able to draw it out, take hold of it and plunge it further in to be able to get at their enemy and stab him with their krist, a species of ferocity that obliges ships in danger of falling in with them to provide themselves with lances that have a guard through the middle of the shaft, by means of which they keep them off and suffer them to die on their own. Okay. So, the first mention of the Amok tale has to do with opium through and through. And it's sort of forgotten. Every generation or two, there's a critic that just tears the myth apart, but he's forgotten and things go on. And the Opium War comes along. How many of you know when the Opium War is? Opium War of 1840 and 41 is. Okay. Shortly after that, there's another revival of interest in it. And then it dies. The myth dies. But it gets resurrected because a new tale has entered the literature. The Assassin's Tale, that old story of the 1300s, gets repeated by de Sacy, a French explorer who accompanied Napoleon in Egypt, and he reports that hashish causes murder, causes assassinations. And almost overnight, the myth becomes not that opium causes running amok, but that cannabis causes running amok. It happens instantaneously. And then it gets repeated two or three times every few years and with a critic every 20 years. But another interesting thing happens to me, and that is that the myth gets repeated by Americans instead of British and instead of foreigners. It becomes an American myth. The British, mainly in India, have rejected opium causes running amok and then reject cannabis running amok. And I have, what is that? I have 60 articles from 1800 to 1930, and 40 of them are by Americans, and there's one sentence of criticism of the concept. Among the 16 articles by British writers, six of them are critics of the system. So the British have made a decision in the 1900s to do away with this thing, and Americans have gotten very interested in running amok on marijuana. And the concept lies there. It's a stillborn concept. And I'm just looking for two American quotes to sort of conclude this. And these are from the late 1920s. One is a Hearst correspondent. This is the way she deals with the muck. This is in the Los Angeles Examiner. The date is February 25th, 1927, and the author is Winifred Black. Hashish will turn the mildest man into a bloodthirsty murderer. A man who smokes hashish runs amok with his bloody knife in one hand and his strangling cloth in the other, and he kills the hashish until the hashish has burnt out its deadly flames. 2 years later, the Surgeon General of the U.S., Cummings by name, writes the following. I like the modest, it is sometimes. It is sometimes alleged that the murderous frenzy of the melee characterized as running amok is the result of the habitual use of hashish. It is also said that the Mohammedan leaders opposing the Crusades utilized the services of individuals addicted to the use of hashish for secret murders. The frenzy produced by the drug led to these persons being called hashishin, hashashins, or hashishi, from which the word the modern word assassin. Okay. So what do I conclude out of all this? Well, for one thing, a desire to ban marijuana or ban cannabis comes in other countries besides the U.S., comes before the 1930s, and comes from countries which don't have a hemp industry or don't have laws against the hemp industry or don't worry about a hemp industry, it seems to me that the concept of marijuana prohibition lies so far back and lies so into something basic about getting at strangers. The transition from opium leads to amok to marijuana leads to amok was so sudden, without opposition, that all I can say is that there's something religious, something psychological, something basic. People love to make stories about people in order to get at people and destroy them. It's not a very optimistic message to leave on, but I reached that conclusion. So, final pep talk. It's the 69th year of the war on marijuana. And somebody said it started in 1970. The Marijuana Tax Act is 1937. It's the 69th year of the war on marijuana. And in honor of 69, I suggest it's time to turn our usual policies, which is the same old missionary position, upside down. So just say no to the war on marijuana, no to the war on opium, and no to the war on drugs. Thank you.
That was Jerry Mandel on the history of prohibition. You can download the complete talk at normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, let's get to some music here on the Stash. This California hip-hop artist contacted us and donated some tracks for play here on the podcast. He sports a normal t-shirt at his shows. Here's Ominous Words.
I write my rhymes, I tie my shoes, I light the stove when I cook my food. I wash my hair, I wipe my ass, I pack my bowls right up till my last.
Get on up, get up, get on, get up, get on up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get on up.
Not that I don't respect them, I just never met.
Oh, you have?
Well, that's good. Please, if understood, I am. But should I stand is the question of the day. Like, should I pray all my time away? And if I could, I may. And if I may, then I'm pleased.
Thank you.
But if I don't hate me. Just thank me for being me. Or thank you for being you. Stay you by staying true.
You're welcome.
Turn the tube to which you're glued. Patience, persistence. I focus on existence. The here and now. So hear me now when I speak aloud.
What's he talking about?
I'm really not surprised by all the questions in our eyes. Think twice and compromise. Never, ever, 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 ever give up or be lazy, but it's the American way. Less work, more pay, count me in. I write my rhymes, I tie my shoes, I light the stove when I cook my food. I wash my hair, I wipe my ass, I pack my bowls right up till my last.
Get on up, get up, get on 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 up.
Hey, you're a priest for a feast of clear conscience. Whether cash or retention, to me it's nonsense. Freedom of religion, don't hate me, hate Congress. Infiltrate the change with action, fuck pockets. We're puppets, dancing to club hits. Paying six on a drink is dumbness. Image creates numbness. Judge to raise a nudge, we all walk through sludge. Fuck war, give hugs, let's all be sitting ducks. Focused on fashion. 51% on defenses, all U.S. taxes, less than 10 on schools. Okay, is that with you?
The least we say.
Consider the source and believe nothing that you hear. And half of what you see, friction creates heat, but water walking I've never seen. To each his own, unless a clone, I walk alone, but interact with many.
We gonna do a song.
Selfishness enlists our own fears. Nobody even hears until it interferes with self. Put your pride up on the shelf. Take a ride with what's felt by the heart like this beat. For a start, play the dealt.
Poker face.
Concerned I am. Conserve what I can. Wave a flag and fight for its honor like a man with 10 daughters and no land. Just a horse and insight. Visions from within. One with the wind. Never pretend to try.
remove my disguise. Me is who I am. Respect all the bills for the man's face they plastered on it, not what they do with it. Just spend it, even though it cost you time. Like this rhyme cost me mine, a wise investment, I feel. Business is business. My life and my choice, so I utilize my voice. Fuck what you heard and seen. I write my rhymes, I tie my shoes. I light the stove when I cook my food. I wash my hair, I wipe my ass. I pack my bowls right up till my last.
That was Ominous Words here on the Audio Stash. We have links up at normalaudiostash.com. And big thanks for him donating tracks for play here on the podcast. Now we get to travel to paradise today. Normal in paradise. Mark Barad from Maui Normal gives us an update on their actions in Hawaii. You know, this is a wonderful example of how democracy actually can work in America, and how Normal is not just making progress in marijuana law reform, but in doing so is helping the American democracy thrive in times of great stress.
Aloha, Normal. It's really nice to be here. I'm honored. I'm representing Maui along with my dear friend Iggy, who's over here, and just pleased to be here with all you lovely people. I'm going to try and give you an update on what's happening with marijuana reform in Maui County, and I just want to let you know it is alive and well. Maui County includes three islands in Hawaii, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. And the permanent population of Maui County runs about 160,000 people. It's pretty small. What we find there, though, is that we have a tremendous base of support for what is commonly called pakalolo. And marijuana use in the islands is very, very common. In fact, for a lot of the locals, that it's been grown in their families for years, the kids grow up not even knowing that this is illegal. There is a wide base of support for what we're doing, and it's interesting what we're finding out. The real interesting thing to me, I was born and raised in Southern California, so I'm real familiar with the initiative process and how certain things get to become on a ballot. I'm going to read you something that we prepared for an advertising campaign in Hawaii to give you a little idea. Excuse me. Hawaii has never before had its people use their democratic rights to change law through the initiative process. With the initiative process, the people present a desired change in the law. Signatures are gathered, the proposed ordinance is put onto the county ballot, and then the people vote their choice in the general election. We are the first citizens of Hawaii to use this democratic power. Now, that's huge. That is, in Maui County, this is the first. In the entire state of Hawaii, we were told that this has been used once before by a homeowners association on Kauai. The people of Hawaii do not even understand this process. It is foreign to their concept of what of how government is run there. And so as other members of this panel have already said, part of what we're doing with this ordinance campaign, we're doing two things. We're doing a voter registration campaign, and we're doing our initiative drive, the signature collection. We're also trying to do some education in the state and let people know that they have this democratic power that's not being used. There's a wide range of issues that are facing the people in Hawaii, from sugarcane burning to cruise ships dumping pollution in their harbors to Hawaiian sovereignty. And a lot of these things we believe can be dealt with at the initiative level when the people realize that they have these powers. I'm going to tell you briefly about our two ordinances. The first one is called the Maui County Crime Reduction Alcohol Marijuana Equalization Ordinance. And all I got to tell you about that is it's based on what Steve was telling us on the SAFER program. And basically will make adult private use not criminal. Adults can possess an ounce and use in the privacy of their own home. The second ordinance, which is a bit more complicated, is the Maui County Compassionate Choice Family Farmer Regulation and Revenue Ordinance. This one's beautiful. This creates, as I see it and what we're trying to tell people, a tremendous win-win situation for the people of Maui County. Farming in Hawaii is a declining and dying industry. And it's amazing the amount of food, as well as everything else, that we have shipped into the islands. For a climate that can grow pretty much everything, we are importing a great amount of our food, as well as our marijuana, as far as that goes. This ordinance is designed to put the family farmer back on the land. The family farmer would submit a proposal to grow two organic crops, the first one being medical-grade marijuana. The second would be something like a sustainable food source. The county would pay the farmers, and the way this has worked gets complicated, but basically I, as a medical marijuana patient, would lease a plot of land from one of these farmers to grow my medical plants. I'm not buying anything from the farmer. I'm leasing land, and if I need additional expertise, I'm contracting for services. What this does is creates and boosts a new industry, which is growing food and sustainable, you know, produce for the islands. It also creates new jobs, which creates revenue flow to the county in the form of payroll taxes and GE taxes and other things. And the end result is that the medical marijuana patients get their medicine at a fraction of the cost that they're paying now without having to deal with street dealers and rip-off situations and not knowing how their medicine was grown and things like that. So we view this as a tremendous win-win for everybody there. Our signature campaign requires us to get 10,000 signatures for each of these ordinances to get them onto the November general election ballot in Maui County. Our timetable on that is extremely tight. We have between now and mid-June to get our 10,000 signatures. And I fully believe that that's our biggest hurdle, is getting this onto the ballot. I believe that the support and the time that we will have for education and other things will make this a very successful campaign. But the next 8-10 weeks are really going to, you know, tell for us. I work with a man in Maui, Brian Murphy. Some of you probably know Brian. He's our executive director, and I have a brief presentation that he's put together, which I'd like to show you at this time.
Aloha from Maui. This is Brian from Patients Without Time. I'd like to announce that we have our normal chapter. We've held one event so far, which was on St. Patrick's Day. Great turnout. Go to the website, check out the video blog on St. Patrick's Day. What I'd like to do is give you a little historical accounting of where we are up to today. 2 years ago, we started an organization called Patients Without Time, where we help facilitate people getting their medical marijuana licenses. To date, we have gotten over 680 people their licenses. We have over 18 doctors on island writing prescriptions, and things are going along handsomely. During this time, we've also created another organization called Maui County Citizens for Democracy in Action. Through Democracy in Action, we created two ordinances that we're putting on to the ballot this November. We did run into a little snag, though. The initiative process, we have to create a committee of five to present it to the county, which we did. Our committee consists of patients from Patients Without Time. Two of the patients are so disabled they really can't do anything but be figureheads on the ordinance, but we felt that was fine and we went forward. After submitting our application to the county for our committee, we were informed that just the five people who signed the committee can collect the signatures. Needless to say, this has created a major problem for us because in reality it brings it down to three people, 10,000 signatures. Originally, we had figured that just like in the rest of the country, that we would have each patient be able to collect signatures and put it on the ballot. With the 680 patients, we had assumed we would only need each patient to get 20 people, but that all has changed. So what we're doing now is we were lucky, a good friend of ours, Mike, who owns a place called the Wowie Maui Kava Bar right on Derry Road in downtown Kahului, has rented us his lanai so we could have a central location in town for people to come to sign the ordinance. We had to change our whole attack plan from having patients collect the signatures to trying to come up with a spot where all 10,000 people could come by to sign. So what we've done is created a whole new program. We're using radio ads, and we're actually having great results. Our first weekend, we collected 1,500 signatures, and we got 1,200 people to register to vote. And that was with just two ads on two radio stations. This week, we're branching out. Six stations, 580 commercials over the next 7 days. We think we're really going to make it, but we need your help. It's actually costing us in excess of $12,000 a week for the next 8 weeks to put this together and make it work. We need your help in this area. The way the county has tied our hands, we have no choice but to create a central location and advertise for people to come and sign the ordinance to make this happen. Everyone on island is showing a great response, and we'd like to thank all the people that have shown up and to tell them, send 10 friends.
Thanks. I just want to point out, and you guys got it, I could tell by the response. This is frustrating. Look at the democracy in Maui County. You know, unlike counties all over the America, we can't use any registered voter to go out. We do believe that this is illegal. We've been given counsel that this is in violation of our rights, yet our timetable is making it tough for us to proceed with legal action at this point. It's being considered. We're also dealing with a situation, because this has never been done before, where the county clerk of Maui County simply does not know how to interpret what is written. And it's very loose. So even though these rules may be draconian and not correct by other standards, they may actually be legally correct. We don't know. This is going to be worked out. It's going to get hot and heavy. We're also getting restricted in other ways that we view are being really tying our hands and not allowing us to use our democratic process. The best example I can give you is Brian Murphy, the man you just saw, went into the county council recently and turned in 590 voter registrations of new people we've registered to vote. He asked for replacement forms so he could go out and continue this process, and he was given 300 back. And when he said, but I turned in 590, they said, you're only allowed 300 per month, which is meaningless and ridiculous and has no basis on reality. They told us when we started this that they applauded our efforts in registering new voters, and that's part of what we're trying to do in the county. The county was able to register in 2005 2,000 new voters. We've already exceeded that, and we're trying to get over 5,000 before we're finished here. So the other thing that I think, and I'll sign off with this, it's really sad to me. It's incredibly sad that while we have a government, a federal government, that's sending our brothers and sisters overseas to die for democracy, that in the United States, in Hawaii, even though we're sort of a third world country ourselves, our basic rights and democratic process is being taken away from us. We still believe that this dream for marijuana reform can become a reality. Like I said, the next 8 weeks for us is really, really critical. And we do need your help, and we do need your support. We're looking at help and support in all ways. We need financial support, obviously, with an advertising budget like what we're talking about. We're going to need legal assistance and legal help to fight the battles that are inevitable. And we also need, as somebody else mentioned, we need effective endorsements. We need help from organizations and individuals who have some clout, and that lending their support and endorsing us would be a very, very positive thing. And that's all I have to say. Iggy and I will be around for the rest of the conference. We'd love to talk to you. We've got some information to pass out if you're interested. And as they say, we just love to talk story. So thank you very much. Aloha.
That's Mark Barad from Maui Normal in that talk to the Normal Conference this year. We have links to Maui Normal at normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Jerry Mandel, Mark Barad, and hip-hop artist Ominous Words out in California for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. we feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.
We welcome your feedback, questions, comments, and most importantly, your support. Contact us at Normal and the Normal Foundation, 1600 K Street, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 2006-2832, or email normal@normal.org.